You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. It's time for Food Friday special surfing edition. If you feel like summer's slipping away from you, it is September after all. We can help. What doesn't scream summer like long days on the beach and taking a surfboard into the water? For many, surfing's a way of life, but even if we're not catching a big wave, we can catch a great meal inspired by the world of surfing. When it comes to surf cuisine, our next guest is the expert. He's traveled to 40 countries, surfing his way around most of them, all the while collecting recipes and stories. He shares those in his new book. Jim Kempton's a lifelong surfer, cook, and writer. He's been the editor and publisher of Surfer Magazine. He's currently the president of the California Surf Museum. His new book is called First We Surf, Then We Eat, Recipes for a Lifetime of Surf Travel. Jim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Jim, before we start cooking, tell us a little bit about how you got into surfing as a career and as a way of life.
Well, I was I have an unusual background with that. I was born on Guam and in the South Pacific and learned, actually the North Pacific, and learned how to surf there. Lived in Southeast Asia in the South Pacific area for the first 13 years of my life, and then moved back to California to start high school. So I learned to surf there, and then of course in California there's lots of surf and surf culture. So I went to high school and college here, and then after I had done a bit of traveling on my own, after college and surfing, I got a job at Surfer Magazine as the editor and eventually became the publisher of the magazine.
And how did that take you into exploring the foods of the surfing world around you?
You know, I think that was just sort of my other passion, if you will. I loved to eat, and I had been exposed to a lot of different cuisines around the world, as a youngster with my parents, and then traveling on my own through Europe and Morocco and Central America and South America during my traveling years. And then at Surfer, I had an enormous opportunity to travel, covering all of the contests and other parts of the culture around the world. So eating was the thing you do after surfing. And so my collection of recipes was everything from the backs of napkins and envelopes to beautiful books from the 1800s that had strange recipes of countries like Peru.
And yeah, you've got recipes from all over the world, basically anywhere that touches water, it seems like. And that makes me think, I'm from the Midwest. I look at a globe and I see land masses. And I wonder if your way of life is you see the blue and then where that land hits it. And that is that you see this connected world of water and surfing and food.
You know, it is, and even more. You look at where the waves come from. They generate generally from the low areas and the high areas. So from the Aleutians up north, and from Antarctica in the south. So the Indian Ocean, for instance, is just a straight fetch from where the huge storms begin. So there's a lot of surf through Indonesia and the Mentawais and all the islands in that area. The same with the South Pacific. And Hawaii with waves coming from both the north and the southern tips of the hemisphere.
We are talking about food and surfing. We've got Jim Kempton with us. His new book is First We Surf, Then We Eat. Well, I think if you asked the average American, like, I don't know, me, to name a place that people surf, we would probably say Hawaii first. And that I want to take us into one of your recipes in the book that you've shared with us, the Ono Poke Bowl. And I got to admit, Jim, poke now is all over the place, even here in the Midwest. I still haven't tried it, though. Tell us what poke is.
So poke are chunks of raw tuna that are marinated in soy sauce and wasabi and mixed together. It's a really delicious. It's like steak tartare, only much tastier, and good tuna belly, which is what they use to make it, is just about as tender and as a filet mignon or more. It melts in your mouth like butter. It has a wonderful taste, wonderful texture, and is super healthy for you. Fish is a high protein item, and if you bring it with a couple of other things, like an we mix it with cut it up with chunks of avocado, and mix it with a dressing like that, and it's a delicious meal. Very light, very low calorie, very high in protein, and very nutritious.
We've got that recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday. And you write somewhere in the book, I'm looking for it now, that Hawaii is the original fusion cuisine.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. There's a famous food plate there called Plate Lunch, and you know, there were people from all ethnic backgrounds that came to Hawaii over the different periods of time, from the whalers from England and Ireland to the Scots who helped run the plantations when they started them, to the Chinese and the Japanese and the Koreans who came to work the plantations, to the, of course, the Hawaiians themselves who were the indigenous people there. When the Westerners arrived, and a plate lunch is almost and then you had the Portuguese that came from Madeira during their had a huge sort of potato famine, so to speak, during an era, and they all came to work in Hawaii. And so if you look at a plate lunch, it's got Korean ribs, and it's got Japanese rice, and it's got macaroni for the Portuguese, and it's got chicken for the Chinese, and soy sauce and wasabi for the Japanese, and there's something for everybody in a Hawaiian plate lunch. It sort of traverses the world in one little plate, and that was because everybody would find something they liked on that plate, and it made everyone happy.
Now, if I was going to picture what I thought surfers would make, I would imagine it often involves going back onto the beach and firing up the grill. How important is the grill for your view of surfer cuisine?
Definitely, there's a lot of items that are cooked on the grill in my book. Partly because obviously there are more male surfers than females, and males tend to love barbecue. But also because I tried to set up a book that you could cook on a hibachi or on a charcoal grill or over an open fire with a stick. And if you can get that, then you can cook anywhere, and you don't have to be the greatest cook in the world and make fabulous tasting food.
I want to get into another recipe you've shared with us. We have it at WPR.org/Food Friday. This is smoky corn salsa. Now, before we get into the recipe, it has a painful memory to you, I understand. There's a story attached, a memory attached to your first the first time you tried this.
Well, I was we were on a surf exploration vessel that Quiksilver had put together that went around the world for 4 years, and I was the director on it. It was an awful job, as you can imagine. We were in Nicaragua and had gotten out of radio contact with the port, and then we took a little tender boat out to look for surf, and we found this fabulous wave that we had discovered no one had even surfed yet, and we were mesmerized watching it as it broke, and all of a sudden we looked out on the horizon, and there was a gigantic set, a bombora out 200 yards beyond where we were. So we were, we had to try to outrace that swell, and it was an 11 wave set, and we made it over the first 10, and the last one looked like it was going to break on us, and we just jammed it over the top, and as we hit the top of the wave and punched through, we went airborne about 10 feet into the air on the backside of the wave, and as you know, boats are not supposed to be in the air. They're made for the ocean. And when we landed, it threw us both I and the captain. There was nothing to hang on to. It was just a little tender boat. And, smashed us into the flooring. And when we got up, I was spurting blood out of my kneecap. And we tied it off and headed home. But we were 2 hours from the boat, which there was really no medical, help there. And then we were going back 3 hours to a port where it was so dirty I wouldn't have lunch there when we left. So in my mind I was thinking, there are times when you put yourself out there and it's not always the safest place to be. Luckily for me, that we tied it off, and once the bleeding was stopped, it was just a deep hole and nothing and no serious damage done, and I was okay. But that night I had that smoky salsa, and it's definitely burned in my memory.
And it's got a little burn in itself, right? Some chipotle hot sauce, cumin, lime juice, some peppers. It's got a little lot of zest going on there.
And it's funny, I think that one of the things that the whole world is discovering is, people where you are love love corn, and I'm sure they have a corn. I mean, I know there's corn salsas now. So adding that little bit of spice and pepper, and you can do it gradually. You'll be amazed at what it adds to dishes that people in regions like the Northwest area and the Midwest do now. And you know, it just adds that little bit of zest, that little bit of bite, and it's really a wonderful experience.
It's Food Friday. We're talking about beach-inspired recipes and surfing-inspired recipes. Our guest is Jim Kempton. His new book is First We Surf, Then We Eat, Recipes from a Lifetime of Surf Travel. We'd love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have foods or dishes that remind you of days spent at the beach? Things you like to make through the winter to bring a little taste of summer to it? And if you're a surfer yourself, what food do you crave when you get off the water? If you've surfed the oceans of the world, or if you're one of those Sheboygan surfers, if you've surfed anywhere in Lakes Michigan or Superior, I know you're out there. Love to hear your experiences and what foods go with your surfing. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. We're picking up our conversation with surfer and cook Jim Kempton. He's the author of the new book, First We Surf, Then We Eat, Recipes from a Lifetime of Surf Travel. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you now or have you ever been a surfer? If so, what's your go-to meal on the beach? Even if you just enjoy beach life, do you have a favorite tropical type of food? Do you have a question for our guest about surfing and or cooking? And is there a food you'd like to make in the winter that brings back a little bit of summer? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Jim, one of the many regions of the world you've surfed and cooked in is Indonesia. You've got some recipes for Bali. Can you tell us a little bit about the cuisine and how it inspires you?
Well, one of the things that you find out about the spicy food is that originally those were used not only just to enhance the flavor, but also to protect and to preserve the foods, because in the tropics things go off a lot more quickly, and of course there wasn't refrigeration back when these cuisines were being developed. So the Balinese food is spicy. It's not super hot pepper spice the way you find with some, you know, with like Thai food or with Hunan or some Mexican peppers, but it's very spicy in terms of having a variety of spices. And of course those islands were you know, very close to what they called the Spice Islands, and were actually part of the Spice Islands once they were being discovered and developed by the Europeans. And so the food there tends to be tends to have a lot of sauces. Tends to be very quickly stir fried, and have a lot of spices as well.
And now, tell us a little bit about the surfing in that part of the world.
Well, one of the interesting things about Indonesia is that it's got more coastline because of the hundreds and hundreds of islands. It's actually 1,700 islands in that archipelago. So they've got more coastline than the coast of the United States and Canada put together. So there's an enormous number of opportunities there. And as I was saying earlier, you've got the Indian Ocean that just pumps these huge swells that come for thousands of miles across the Indian Ocean and into Indonesia, and they break on reefs, which means that it's a much more abrupt hit that the wave gets, which means that its power has not been diminished by dragging on a continental shelf, and so the power of it, just like in Hawaii, tends to be much greater, and the waves tend to be hollower, and that's what surfers love once they become competent or expert at what they do. They're looking for that challenge, and there's almost constant waves in that region of the world.
Now, as a very much lifelong landlubber, that sounds kind of scary to me, looking out from that beach and seeing this power that's literally built up over, what, thousands of miles coming at me and just standing there on a big piece of fiberglass, I guess.
you know, it's just like pole vaulting. You know, by inches. You know, you just raise the bar a little bit over and over again. In fact, I once asked a big wave rider how he learned to surf 40-foot waves, and his answer was by learning how to surf 15-foot waves, and then 16-foot waves, and then 17-foot waves. And so, you know, it's very much that way. A lifetime of surfing. You know, if you can, you know, dedicate a year or two to surfing all the time, you get very comfortable with that.
I want to bring on a caller now. Matt is with us in Bailey's Harbor. Matt, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What'd you want to tell us about?
Well, I'm a Great Lakes surfer. I first started surfing out in Hawaii. I lived out there for 3 winters, but one of the foods I really fell in love with was the musubi.
Yes. That's very Hawaiian.
Yeah. So, Matt, before I let you go, how does the surfing here stack up against Hawaii?
Well, you know, when the days are good, they aren't very crowded, which is really nice up here in Door County. But, you know, there are some fun days out here I've had. So I really do like it, although I do miss the waves in Hawaii.
All right. Thanks a lot, Matt. So what is musubi, Jim?
It's a Hawaiian dish that is rice and meat and wrapped in a seaweed that very tightly, and it is sort of like you would call it a seaweed bun sandwich, really delicious.
Thanks a lot for that call, Matt, at 800-642-1234. Talking to Jim Kempton, surfer and cook, about his new book, First We Surf, Then We Eat. Well, Wisconsin is pretty far off the beaten path when it comes to surfing. Jim, what are some of the places around the world that you've enjoyed surfing in that people might not think of as surfing places?
So one of them is an area called the Basque Country, which is the Atlantic coastline of France and Spain. And the Basques are the people who have lived there longer than anyone else in Europe. They're Europe's oldest people. And it's a fabulous area, very, very high quality of living, and lots of surf from the Atlantic. It also has a kind of unusual thing in that the Gulf Stream, which leaves and sweeps out into the Atlantic, curves back down, hits the very southern westmost tip of England, and then comes into the Bay of Biscay right there. So there's probably 7 or 8 months out of the year when the water is relatively warm compared to what the water is like in the rest of the coastlines of the Atlantic, like Portugal or other parts of France. And so it's kind of an ideal place that has a lot of surf. And has incredible food. As you know, the French and France and Spain are known for, at least in modern times, their great food. And then the Basque put this sort of extra touch on it of their own. They were one of the first people to take the peppers from the New World and make use of them.
Yeah, what are some of the foods that you've really enjoyed from Basque Country?
So there's they call it tipperard there, and they use onions and peppers and tomatoes for almost a large number of their dishes. But one is called poulet basquez, and it's a tomato sauce with peppers and onions cooked with chicken, and you barbecue the chicken first and then put it into a pot, and you stir fry the onions and bell peppers, and then let them all kind of marinate together in one pot, and then serve it over rice. And I've never had anybody who didn't eat more than one helping.
I'm looking at a picture of a Basque omelet that just looks beautiful here.
So that's a perfect example of using the sort of the same ingredients to a different thing. That's what they do for breakfast. And if you like that, if you can just imagine that with chicken and rice instead of the eggs, that's what you'd be looking at with poulet basquez.
Now, one common theme I see here, Jim, is a lot of this stuff looks delicious, but it looks pretty healthy too.
Well, I did make an effort to do that. You know, over the years, we've learned so much about nutrition and healthy eating what helps your body and what hurts your body. And so I tried to alter the recipes just enough to maybe put a little superfood into it, or to remove some of, you know, to cook with maybe a healthier oil or whatever that might be. And I also tried to pick the healthiest of the recipes from places, no matter where they were in the world.
Now you're with the California Surf Museum. Can you leave us with maybe your favorite California surfing site and a favorite California-style cuisine?
Well, you know, my favorite surfing spot in California is probably Lower Trestles, which is very near where I live, just a few miles from where I live, and is my kind of my home break. And it's a beautiful wave. It's gotten very crowded, so I surf the breaks around it now as much as I surf it. But it's a fabulous wave. And for California cuisine, you know, the funny thing about California cuisine is that it is so integrated with the food of Mexico that some of my favorite things are sort of what we call California fusion food, which after Hawaii is probably the biggest fusion place there is. It's a quesadilla that's in the book that we had at the restaurant I owned that we sort of made up for ourselves, and it was the most popular thing on the menu.
What's on that quesadilla? I glanced at it, but I can't remember what was in the recipe.
So it's chorizo and mushrooms and cheese, and then topped with sour cream and tomatoes.
Pretty straightforward, but it sounds really good.
Oh, man, you have to try it to believe it.
And, Jim, briefly, before I let you go, I got to ask, we played a little surf-style music to start things off. Do surfers really listen to surf music?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, you know, it's actually kind of come back now because of some of the great directors that have been using it in some of the coolest movies recently. So yes, a little bit, but you know, surfers generally listen to the same sort of music that everybody does. You know, there was a period in time when that was true, just like there was a period in time when people all rode longboards. But you know, everything moves on, and they listen to a variety of music.
Thanks a lot to Jim Kempton. We've been talking about his new book, First We Surf, Then We Eat, Recipes from a Lifetime of Surf Travel. If you're feeling hungry, we've got a couple of Jim's recipes, smoky corn salsa and Ono Poke. You can find those at WPR.org/Food Friday.